To order, please. Today we have a work session set, and we're going to start off with a bill introduction, and it's going to be LC 3285. And since I can't call you counsel or whatever, well, administrator.
Sorry about that, Mr. Chair.
I don't know if I'm going to give that up yet, but we'll say, Ms. Bond, could you please give us a little bit of guidance as to what LC 3285 is?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, LC 3285 regulates some provisions of the unlawful trade practices, and it's a committee bill for introduction. Would you like more information?
Mr. Chair, I move LC 3285 be introduced as a committee bill.
Senator Bauer moves LC 3285 to be introduced as a committee bill. Is there any discussion regarding what 3285 is? Any objection to it being coming as a committee bill? Not seeing any or hearing any, it will be adopted and moved as into a bill to be introduced as a committee bill. How's that?
Yep.
Okay.
Perfect.
And we'll open up a work session on Senate Bill 400. And Ms. Braun.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members
committee administrator.
Ms. Braun works. Senate Bill 400, as you recall, changes the definition of employment relations in the Public Employee Collective Bargaining Act for those employees who are prohibited from striking to include staffing levels and safety issues that have a potential impact on the on-the-job safety and workload of the employees. This has no revenue impact. We haven't received a fiscal statement yet, but we have a fiscal statement from 2005 when it was an identical bill, and it's an indeterminate fiscal impact. So that's what's expected on this bill. There is no amendment.
All right. Is there any motions regarding Senate Bill 400?
Mr. Chair, I'll move Senate Bill 400 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation.
Senator Avakian has moved Senate Bill 400 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Senator Beyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm opposed to the motion to move the bill. I do have in my possession a proposed amendment that is not in LC form, but it was given to me today by the League of Oregon Cities, and I was hoping maybe that the chair would entertain the thought of this. Would one part of the motion or the amendment would make the bill pertain only to basically State of Oregon employees, i.e. Department of Corrections, Oregon State Hospital, and Oregon Youth Authorities. The rest of it would, on local governments, would be a meet and confer requirement where the employee groups would have a statutory right to meet and confer at least quarterly with their employers to discuss safety issues. Obviously, that is not going to be entertained because we have a motion on the floor in front of us, so I guess I'll speak to the motion directly. I voted against the bill 2 years ago. I think I made my position clear that time. I think this time it's even more ill-timed, I guess I shall say, because as we have all heard, hopefully heard, read about, seen in the papers and news everywhere else, the amount of money that is the local government specifically are losing, the counties, Douglas County in particular, losing, I think it's 60% of its general fund and federal payments. The rest of the ONC counties, similar numbers. All the counties except for three losing large amounts of federal funds. And this bill, whereas the fiscal impact may be indeterminate, it clearly is going to cost something, and it's going to cost local governments something. And I think that would be, in my other, for other reasons, I would oppose it also, but it's very ill-timed right now because of that issue.
All right. Any other discussions?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Thank you. I will be voting in opposition to the motion, and I would just like to put on to the record a letter received from Chief Rosie Sizer, City of Portland, and just read from a portion of the letter. It's the last paragraph where she indicates that a well-trained and professional workforce, proper planning, and good communication with the community are vital to providing effective and responsive police services. Effective police work also depends on great timing and seizing opportunities when they arise. Senate Bill 400 would reduce our agency's ability to respond to quickly developing events, and it would reduce the flexibility of police managers in making choices that serve their individual communities. With that thought and with the content, the rest of the content of Chief Sizer's letter dated February 7, 2007, I will be voting in opposition.
Thank you. Senator Gordley, do you know if that letter has actually been made part of the record, or should I ask Ms. Moran if she knows if
Mr. that... Mr. Chair, members of the committee, that letter was presented for Mr. King's testimony, I believe.
All right. And I also want to make certain in response to that, there is a letter that came out dated to Senator Gordley on February 14th, a response.
That would be my next comment.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
I also wanted to note, again, for the record, that Mr. King did respond to my request to respond to Chief Sizer's letter, and... Mr. King is head of the Portland Police Association. He did respond. His letter is dated February 14, 2007. And my office made this letter available to the chair earlier today.
Mm-hmm. And I did receive that. And I appreciate the getting the letter and the heads up and the ability to actually look at it. And I just, I guess, ask Ms. Braun if that also, if you received a copy of this letter.
I haven't had an opportunity.
Then what I'm going to do, the chair will hand over the copy that I received so we can have that in the as official record and be part of Senate Bill 400 as to a response to the chief's letter of February 4th, 7th.
Mr. Chair?
And if not, then I've got a couple, I guess, responses and comments to Senator Byers, I guess, concerns and situations. It's the chair's position that first that we don't have an issue regarding additional money needing at the local level. What this bill will only do is require that safety be discussed at the table. Now, I guess you could say if it takes another 30 minutes to an hour or even a day to discuss those issues, there could be some incidental cost for the negotiations to continue. I did see a copy, at least one of the proposed amendments, which was what I'm calling the meet and confer. My review of that, it doesn't appear to do anything greater than what's already required through the organizations that have public safety committees, because they can, in fact, meet and confer. But there's no requirement that they actually do any action based on the meet and confer. The other part that I find lacking is that it basically would bifurcate the state's public safety and say those who are within the state, you have this obligation to do it, but in the local level, counties and cities, you do not. And I do not believe that's in the best interest of public safety for this state. So for that, I would not be supporting the amendment if it was coming forward. And with that, then I'm going to go ahead, unless there's other discussions.
Mr. Chair. I appreciate your comments about the meet and confer, because I asked the same question of the cities. How is that different than the safety committees required by statute today? And the answer I was given back to me was that the safety committees required by statute today are at the administrative level of the city or the county, not at the department level of the public safety institution that is being addressed. And this would be at the level of the public safety institution, i.e. the sheriff's office or the city police department or the corrections unit in the jail of the county. So there, or the fire. So that is, I asked the same question that you just did, and that was the answer given back to me, that it would be a meet and confer would be more at the local level, directed more at specifically at the public safety employee, not at the administrative level of the city as a whole or the county as a whole.
Right, but I think the point is that meet and confer may occur if it isn't already occurring, but if you get down to the point of where they cannot agree to move something forward and the safety is still a concern, there's no obligation as it currently is under the current state law that these discussions occur during bargaining.
Well, again, I guess the difference I would say on that is that under current law, it has to have a direct and substantial effect of the safety, and under the proposed law, it has to have a potential impact of the safety. So if they're meeting and conferring, or they decide that the issue does have a direct and substantial effect of the safety, then it does elevate to the bargaining under current law.
Well, I guess what I would say is I actually have had conversations with labor and management on the issues. I put on the table a fix that was rejected outright, and additional, desires were sought. And I've told them from the chair's perspective, this has been deliberated long enough, and it's time to move the bill. Since there was no compromise that could be reached, the bill would move. At least it's going to be presented, and it has been presented to move forward. Senator Monroe?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've thought about this bill a lot. Been in this process for a long time. Mandatory and permissive are two terms that are used in bargaining, and they have certain meanings. They don't mean yes and maybe. They mean yes and no. And that's kind of a misnomer, because permissive sounds like maybe, but it means no. And so what does this mean? The opponents are saying this will increase costs. Increase costs for counties, for local governments, for state government. When they say that it will increase costs, what I hear from that is they are assuming, first of all, that there are safety concerns that are real, that are so real that they will lose at the bargaining table on those safety concern issues, or if it goes to an impartial arbiter, and you know the way the arbitration system works, where they bump down and pick an impartial arbiter, that impartial arbiter, looking at all of the issues, including the local government's ability to pay, will always side with the union. And I just don't find that to be accurate in either case. If, in fact, there are real safety issues, and I think there are some, then, in fact, they ought to be dealt with, because we're asking people to put their lives on the line every day. Police and fire and corrections officials to put their lives on the line every day, and they ought to have some safety, some protection, or at least the right to talk about, and that's all we're giving them here, the right to talk about some safety and some protection. So I'll be supporting the motion.
Thank you. Senator Avakian?
I actually think that there's an additional reason why this notion of increased costs has come up, and it's one that I think is a misnomer or is not accurate, and that is that as these mandatory issues are brought to the bargaining table, that the intent behind doing that will be to just use them as leverage to get greater benefits or pay in another sense. If that were to end up being the case, I'm guessing that we would be back next session or the one after and be reviewing whether or not this was an appropriate move to take. I don't believe that to be the case, and actually think from both sides that they will in good faith come to the bargaining table to bargain for things that are important to each of them without simply using this type of a thing as a ruse or leverage for something else. And it's for that reason that I discount the arguments that this is going to be more costly to the local governments.
All right, thank you. If there's no other discussion, Brian, if you'd be so kind, go ahead and call the roll on this one.
Senator Avakian?
Aye.
Senator Gordley?
No.
Senator Monroe?
Aye.
Senator Beyer?
No.
Chair votes aye. Bill passes to the floor with a due pass recommendation. The chair will carry this one. And we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 400. And at this point, we will go ahead and open up a work session on Senate Bill 447. And Ms. Braun, if you'll go ahead and give us the overview on this one.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 447 is a modification to the identity theft statute. It adds deceased to the definition of person and trust company account information to the definition of protected identification for the crime of identity theft. There is no amendment. It has no revenue impact, and we don't have a fiscal impact statement yet, but I don't expect one.
All right. And is there any motions for Senate Bill 447?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 447 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Beyer moves Senate Bill 447 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Not seeing any, it will move to the floor unanimously with a due pass recommendation. And we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 447. And we'll open up Carrier. Any volunteers for this one? Senator Beyer will carry that one. We'll keep you in line, Senator Moreau, for another one.
That's fine.
I'll open up my work session on Senate Bill 202. Council, excuse me, Ms. Braun, I'm going to get in trouble about the
I just don't want to get in trouble. You can get in trouble.
What did I say? Is this what I say, bring it on or whatever? Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 202 requires proof of workers' compensation insurance to obtain a farm labor contractor license. We heard this on January 24th. This was a Bureau of Labor and Industry bill, has no revenue impact and no fiscal impact. And since we heard it, it went to the Management Labor Advisory Committee and was approved there.
All right. Any motions on Senate Bill 202?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 202 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Beyer moves Senate Bill 202 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? Not seeing or hearing any, that will also move to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And we'll take a carrier volunteer. Senator Gordley will carry Senate Bill 202. And we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 202. And we will also now open up a work session on Senate Bill 195. And Ms. Braun, if you'll give us an overview on that one.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 195 is from the Employment Department. It requires claimants who are disqualified from receiving benefits for unemployment insurance to be employed in a job subject to unemployment insurance before they can requalify for benefits. It has no revenue impact. We got a fiscal impact statement today, and it was on your desk today when you arrived. This bill will result in a reduced payments in benefits to the agency, so it will result in a savings of $1.2 million for 2007-2009 and $1.6 million for 2009-2011. And we heard this on January 29th. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Any motions on Senate Bill 195?
Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Bill 195 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Beyer moves Senate Bill 195 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there or are there any discussions?
Just a comment. I guess I'm shocked by the fiscal that it would be that large. And it's a fiscal savings. It's not a fiscal cost.
Right.
It's a fiscal savings.
Right.
But actually, it's $1.25 million because there's also an increase in interest in addition to the so. That's good.
Yeah. Any other comments? If not, then is there any objection to Senate Bill 195 moving to the floor with a due pass recommendation? Not seeing it. Oh, Senator Renner.
Can I carry it?
It does pass to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And Senator Monroe, will you be our carrier?
I would love to.
He'll be our carrier on Senate Bill 195. We'll close the work session on 195. We'll open up a work session on Senate Bill 120.
120.
Oh, my fault.
See the script?
Throw me to follow along.
Senate Bill 197.
There I go.
So we in 120
on my
first.
Own. So we're going to go ahead and close whatever I was starting with Senate Bill 120, and we'll stay in order, even though it's not on my things to do list. And we'll open up a work session on Senate Bill 197. And
thank you, Mr.
Ms.
Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 197 is from the Employment Department. It rewrites the Employment Department's authorization for disclosing confidential information, and it allows increased access to aggregate information about industries. We heard this on January 29th. It has no revenue and no fiscal. It has a dash one amendment, which clarifies that disclosure to the U.S. Attorney's Office can be made in response to a federal grand jury subpoena. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Thank you. Let me ask if there's any questions regarding the bill itself. And then we also have the amendment, which at this point, don't think it's actually been before us to discuss.
Right. This is the first time the committee has seen this amendment.
And if anyone has any questions about the amendments this time, we can go ahead and consider that. And if not, then the chair would take a recommendation to adopt the Dash 1 amendments into Senate Bill 197.
So moved.
Senator Byers moved Dash 1's amendments to Senate Bill 197. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. We now have a bill that's been amended with the Dash 1's.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Byers.
When this bill was at the first hearing, I asked the question of the Employment Department if this, how this had to relate to a bill last session that Bully brought forward. And at that time, it was indicated they weren't sure. They have since come and talked with the office and indicated that this parts of that bill are in this bill. I appreciate that confirmment from the Employment Department. I also understand, I don't think it was put on the record the first hearing, so I'd appreciate it if Ms. Braun knows now, but the Employment Department has an employer advisor committee, I think it's called, and I believe this bill has been through that and been approved by that committee, but I don't think that was put on the record in the first hearing.
I don't remember.
And if the Employment Department would come forward and put that on the record, I would appreciate it.
All right. And Tom, if you want to come forward and take care of that task, that would be appreciated.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Tom Byerly, Assistant Director for Unemployment Insurance with the Oregon Employment Department. Yes, this bill has gone through our Employment Advisory Council. It's made up of Oregon employers and business and labor advisors. It's a 12-member panel that's appointed by the governor, and they review all of our legislation before we bring it to legislative council.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. With that, I would move Senate Bill 197 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Byer moves Senate Bill 197 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Any objection? Not seeing, hearing any, it will move to the floor with a due pass recommendation as amended, Senate Bill 197. And
with Senator Monroe's permission, I'd be happy to carry the bill.
Senator Monroe, is that all right? Senator Avakian will be our carrier for Senate Bill 197, and we'll close the work session on that bill. And that will bring us to what's next on the agenda, at least in my agenda, Senate Bill 120. We'll open up the work session on it. And Ms. Braun.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 120 makes unlawful debt collection practices an unlawful trade practice and therefore enforceable by the Attorney General. We heard this on January 22nd. We heard this on February 12th. And we not heard it, but we considered it on February 12th, and we talked about the Dash 1 amendment. This has no fiscal impact and no revenue impact.
All right.
Mr. Chair, I would move the Dash 1 amendment into Senate Bill 120.
Senator Byer has moved for the Dash 1s to Senate Bill 120 be amended into the bill. Any discussion?
I'll speak to the amendment, Mr. Chair. I think we heard lots of public testimony on this bill. When I made this motion a week ago, you requested that the parties go out and try to work out a different amendment. To my knowledge, no different amendment has come forward. I think that is what you understand. Your understanding also, if there was, we'd probably be talking about a Dash 2 or 3 that I haven't seen. So, you know, I just think that these groups that are spoke to in the Dash 1 amendments are already regulated by DCBS, and I think they have an appropriate regulation, and I believe the Dash 1 amendment would be a good addition to the bill.
Any other comments? I'll just respond, Senator Byer, that yes, you're right. There was a charge given to the interested parties to try to get together and see if they could come together on a different amendment that would satisfy the needs and desires of the various interests. And as of 30 minutes ago, they had not been able to reach that. And I've had conversations with individuals on both of those interest groups since we last recessed. And at this point, it appears that there won't be anything moving forward at this time. Maybe something on the House side can be worked out The chair is not going to be supporting the dash ones at this time. And the reason this chair will not be is because it's my opinion, based on the testimony we heard, that we are talking about what I'd consider some wrongful acts that do in fact belong to be under the unlawful trade practice. And since we couldn't get a, let's say, a modification or clarity as to what might be included within that enforcement arena, we'll leave it as it is and let the bill hopefully move forward without the dash ones. Other comments?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, and I don't know if this is appropriate. You can tell me. I'm always wondering, you know, why things broke down and why they weren't able to reach some kind of an accommodation as we asked them to try to do. I guess it's probably not appropriate to have that discussion in front of the committee because it was private discussions between private individuals, but it troubles me that things broke down.
And
I am hopeful that they can continue to work on this if it passes the Senate and maybe make it an even better bill when it gets over to the House.
And Senator Monroe, I would agree with you. That's one of the reasons I did recess the bill, because I thought that maybe there could be, let's say, more give and take. I know there's some difference in philosophies between the parties as to what they were willing to do or not do, and that's why I think we hit good luck. And so at this point, ready to, let's say, let the bill move forward, and then we'll, you know, hopefully the parties will be able to accommodate each other at whatever level it may be based on what happens here. With that, if there's no other discussions, Brian, I believe you should go ahead and call the roll on the adoption of the Amendment Dash 1 into Senate Bill 120.
Senator Avakian?
No.
Senator Gordley?
Aye.
Senator Monroe?
No.
Senator Beyer?
Aye.
Chair Kozowski?
No. Not receiving the constitutional number to adopt the dash one into the bill, it fails. And at this time, the chair will take a motion on Senate Bill 120 without any amendments.
Mr. Chair, I will move Senate Bill 120 to the floor with due pass recommendation.
Senator Avakian has moved Senate Bill 120 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any further discussion?
Please call the roll. I think we've already had the discussion.
Yeah. I'm going through the protocol here. And, Brian, if you'd be so kind to call the roll on this one.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Senator Avakian?
Aye.
Senator Gordley?
Aye.
Senator Monroe?
Aye.
Senator Beyer?
No.
Chair Kozanski?
Chair votes aye. And so the Senate Bill 120 will move to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any individual want to carry the bill?
Let me carry it.
Chair will carry this one. But thank you for the offer. I think we got one more, Senator Barr, that you might be able to be interested in. So we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 120. At this time, we'll open up a work session on the last bill that we have scheduled for today, Senate Bill 122. And Ms. Braun.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 122 prohibits sending checks which create a payment obligation once cashed and makes violations an unlawful trade practice. This was a bill from the Department of Justice we heard on January 22nd. It has no revenue impact and no fiscal impact. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, thank you. Any motions on Senate Bill 122?
Mr. Chair.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. There is a dash one amendment on this.
Yeah, in fact, I see that on my script.
It's on your SMS, in fact. Dash one amendment.
And so Ms. Braun, why don't you tell us about the dash one?
The dash one amendment. The Department of Justice worked with Paul Cosgrove on the amendment. The amendment removes offers to lend money or extend credit from the scope of the bill. It also changes the word delivered or caused to be sent, or word delivered to caused to be sent or sent. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Is there any motions regarding the dash one amendments that have been proposed for Senate Bill 122?
Mr. Chair, I would move the dash one amendments into Senate Bill 122.
Senator Beyer moves the dash one amendments into Senate Bill 122. Any discussions? Any objection? Not seeing or hearing any, those amendments will be adopted into Senate Bill 122.
Mr. Chair, I will move Senate Bill 122 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Beyer moves Senate Bill 122 as amended by the Dash 1 amendments to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Yes, please, Mr. Chair. I think from my perspective, the dash ones make the bill a better bill. I still have concerns about the issue and the bill, and I guess I just leave it at that for now. I did make the motion on the bill. I think I'll support the bill going out of committee, but as I look into it further, I don't know they'll be supporting the bill on the floor. But
okay,
the dash ones definitely make it a better bill than it originally was.
All right, thank you. Any other comments? If not, I'll go ask if there's any objection to Senate Bill 122 as amended with the dash ones to go to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Not hearing or seeing any, and that will be adopted. And it sounds like Senator Beyer may not want to be the carrier of this bill.
Yeah, I don't think he will be the carrier.
And so is there any other volunteers?
Sure.
Senator Avakian will be the carrier for Senate Bill 122. And we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 122. And Ms. Braun, what else do we have on our agenda that we need to cover today?
I would like to mention we have the March 9th meeting on Senate Bill 583, the Identity Theft Bill in Eugene, at noon at Harris Hall. And the notice is out for that. So.
Okay. And it's my understanding, I think we've got that bill scheduled to be heard at Harris Hall, which is part of the Lane County Courthouse, for a two-hour period from noon to 2.
Mm-hmm.
And we are working on maybe having a special presenter to introduce the bill. Oh. If the schedule permits. We'll let you know and keep you informed as to that. Is there any other business for us today?
Are we traveling by state van? Or
we will have a van available.
We can contact your office and find out how you would like to go.
Yeah, we do. I think for all these meetings, we do have the availability of a van for members to be able to travel instead of being in personal vehicles. Any other? Senator Monroe?
Mr. Chair, if you ever need for this purpose, I have a commercial driver's license and drive buses and vans for our church.
Oh, wonderful.
On a regular basis. So if you need a driver that's experienced with larger vehicles, I could do that.
Oh, that'd be great. All right. Well, keep that in mind. Thank you very much. Without any other questions or discussions or comments or information to be given, then we'll adjourn for the day. Thank you, committee members.
Sorry.
Oh, that's fine.